Good morning. Christ is in our midst.
He is in the shadow.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
First, I want to welcome any folks who may be joining us online this morning. So, brothers and sisters, Sunday morning is different than any other morning of the week. In the kitchen, there's no coffee brewing and no bacon sizzling in the frying pan. We rise. We say our prayers, we shower, we brush our teeth, we put on our Sunday best, and simply and quietly as possible make our way to the church here. We arrive and we try to still our minds by listening to the hours, preparing our hearts for the Holy Liturgy. When the hours are over, the deacon says to the priest, when we have a deacon, I miss my deacon, but he says to the priest, he says, it is time for the Lord to act. And he's not saying, Father Ted, it's 10. What he's doing is, he's using a word here. The word in Greek is kairos. In Greek it would be, it's kairos. The word kairos means it's the supreme moment. It's a special moment. A moment without regard to the time on our watches. It's a moment that transcends time. It is the moment that it happens mystically. But heaven comes crashing down into earth. It's the moment that the kingdom of heaven becomes a reality in our midst, in our presence. That's why, the very beginning of the liturgy, the priest says, blessed is the kingdom. Blessed is the kingdom of God. Blessed is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed is the kingdom of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Because it's becoming made manifest in our midst, our presence. And if the kingdom of God is in our midst, then amongst us is Abraham, think about this, all the saints who come to join us with worship. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, St. John the Theologians, St. John the Baptist, St. the Theotokos, our St. Justin Martyr, and all the angels and all the saints, we all gather together. That's why on the walls of the church, we have all these icons of saints because it would remind us that they're here with us worshiping. And behind the altar, we have the icon of Holy Communion because that is the main act that's taking place here. That is, we're joining in to that eternal banquet that's taking place in the kingdom of heaven. That is why that icon is there, to remind us of that, that we're joining in that eternal Eucharistic ongoing marriage supper in the kingdom of heaven. And often also in churches, if they don't have this icon, it's the other icon is Christ enthroned, because when we come here, we come before the throne of God to worship. In the Divine Liturgy, brothers and sisters, heaven and earth are conjoined together. Heaven interpenetrates earth. And I'm setting this all up to say something very important here. Our worship here together this morning, brothers and sisters, is synergistic. We do it together. We, you and I, co-celebrate the liturgy. This liturgy arises from our gathering together. In fact, Father Schmemann called it the sacrament of the assembly. All of us standing here together, praying, singing before God's throne. And for this reason, no priest, no bishop can serve the liturgy by himself. Archbishop Alexander, awesome dude, awesome bishop, great man. He cannot serve the liturgy by himself. No one can. The Metropolitan can't. Here's a short story. When St. Justin Martyr, just start off, we were just a few months old, and God blessed us, and we had a Byzantine Catholic church that we could rent, that we used. The priest came on Sunday, and this church was a fantastic facility. It had icons in the walls. It had an altar, iconostasis. It had office, it had a fellowship hall, we had place for a classroom. It was just perfect, the perfect setup any church would want to get started. It was fantastic. The only deal was they had a priest on Sunday evenings that would come because they didn't have a priest for Sunday morning. And that's the only time he came. He drove up from Titusville area, I can't remember, Ormond Beach. So anyhow, one week, the first year we're around, we're a few months old, maybe 4 months old, 5 months old. We have the feast of St. Herman of Alaska, December 13th, 1994. I'll never forget this day. I prepare to celebrate the liturgy. I come in, I set everything up because we had to tear up everything, tear it down, set it up all the time. And I did proskuneo. I you know, vested, did proskuneo, finished, came out and looked. There was nobody there. What was I going to do? I can't serve the liturgy by myself. And then I put on my liturgical theology cap, and I realized the first half of the liturgy, the part that we're in right now, right up to this moment, is called the liturgy of the word. And I reasoned, well, okay, I can do that, and then stop if no one shows. So I started liturgy. I chanted the litanies. I sang the responses. The angels went like this. And at some point, someone came in during that, and I could serve the liturgy and finish it. We do this work together, brothers and sisters. The word in Greek for liturgy is liturgia, which is two words together, people and work. It's the work of the people. That means all of us have something to do. The priest, the deacons, the servers, the readers, the choir director, they all have their duties. But everyone else has the duty of singing the hymns and the responses. And we sing it with the angels and all the saints. And think about this. If we don't participate in the singing, we're spectators only, watching a show. We're fans in the stands, not players in the field. And of course, it's players that win the game. Today's gospel, the feeding of 5,000, is the only miracle that's in all four gospels because it's all about the Eucharist. Just as God delivered Israel from bondage to Egypt and then fed them with manna in the desert, Jesus today, the people he came to deliver from bondage to Satan and sin, now feeds his people in the desert. So there's a strong parallel there. And then after Jesus feeds the 5,000 in John's account, we read from Matthew today, they want to make him a king. So they go to try to get him, and because Jesus is not an earthly king, but our heavenly king, he runs away. He flees, he goes to a mountain to be alone, and he prays. Then later at night, there's a whole nother pericope. The disciples are on the water, he walks on the water, catches up with them, they go on to his hometown, Capernaum. And when he's in Capernaum, all of a sudden these people that he fed are starting to show up there. They're looking at him, they're hunting him down. And this is what Jesus says to him when they find him. Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, not because you recognized me as the Messiah, but because you ate your fill of loaves, because I fed you. They're not seeking Jesus because he's God, but because they want free food. Jesus then tells them, do not labor for the food that perishes. Do not labor for the food that you get at Publix, but for the food which endures to eternal life. Which is, of course, which is the labor for the body and blood of Christ. Our efforts are for the body and blood of Christ, which the Son of Man will give us, will give you on the cross. Then a little bit later, Jesus tells them, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. For the bread which I give for the life of the world, for the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Key words for the life of the world. And then the Jews who were listening to this argued amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give him his flesh to eat? They don't understand. So Jesus says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So unless we're having the precious body and blood of our Lord, we have no life in us. We may have a heartbeat, we may have breath in our lungs, but we're not really alive. Unless we receive his body and blood. Then Jesus continues, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. These are key words. These words changed my life when I fully came to understand them, brothers and sisters. And these words are the bottom line for Christians, for ancient Christians. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And for this reason, the Eucharist is at the very center of the Orthodox Christian life. In fact, it's called Holy Communion because we're in common union with God. We think about how great and deep this intimacy is. We become one with God. God's body and blood enters us, commingles in our bodies with us. His body and blood becomes a part of our body and blood. And this union, this common union, is both vertical and horizontal. Horizontal in the sense that all of us together, when we receive the body and blood of Christ, we become one. We become blood brothers and sisters. Think about it. Because we drink from the same chalice, through the same chalice. And we have a oneness with Christ and with each other. And it's not only here, but with every Orthodox Christian around the world and across the centuries, because it's all the same chalice. It's all the very same precious body and blood. In seminary, we received a handout in chapel about receiving Holy Communion. And in part, it says it's a very, very well-written document. But as said, Orthodox Christians, I'm going to share three thoughts. Orthodox Christians order their lives from communion to communion. And that we live from Sunday to Sunday, from Eucharist to Eucharist, and all that we are and all that we do find its beginning and its ending, its meaning and its purpose, its origin and its fulfillment in God's gift of Holy Communion to us. And then the conclusion is, every moment of our lives on some level is preparation for Holy Communion. That means feeding our children at home. That means going to work. That means whatever we do during the week, everything we do on some level is preparing ourselves for the next encounter of our lives with Christ. So I said we were co-celebrants at a liturgy. And I'm going to share with you, this is a rubric for, and if we're co-celebrants, we kind of share the same rubric. And this is the rubric that's in the book for the priest before he serves a liturgy. It says, one, when the priest desires to serve the divine mysteries, he must be at peace with all. So that means I have to live my life in peace with as much as it is possible in my power. You know, you can't control other people, but you can do everything that you can to be at peace with everyone. Have a pure heart. That's the work of the whole week. Seek God with all our heart. You know, try to repent when we mess up. Fast from the preceding evening. That means, you know, I remember one time I was in seminary, my really good friend, my next door neighbor. I'll just say his name's Mark. Really a great guy. So it was, we were up late, we're doing something, we had liturgy next morning, we're doing something, and he looks at his watch, he says, it's 1 minute to midnight, we need to eat and drink before we go to bed. I said, no! That's not how it works. It's time we go to sleep. You know, God's not like they're in heaven with time. Oh! It's a true story. Okay. But we fast in the time and go to bed. Okay? And then we may have medical reasons that we may need to eat a little. I mean, there's people, older people in community have come to me and said, Father Ted, I have this and this, and I take medicine. Doctor says I have to have a half an egg, piece of bread. Hey, I'm diabetic. I have to watch, you know. I got myself sick one time because I ate too much ice cream the night before. You know, I came to church, I was like, oh. And I talked to my bishop, and he gave me rules, okay? I fast. But you can see, I have a medical condition. You know, I had surgery one time, and I hate having to sip water, but got to do what you got to do. But we get our medical exception from our spiritual father or spiritual mother. So we fast in the preceding evening, okay? And then remain in a proper spirit during the service. Until the service and during the service. They do everything that we can to be prepared to come before our Lord's throne. So, brothers and sisters, we have such a great privilege. I am so honored to be a priest here and serve you. And we're so honored together to do the work of liturgy together, to come before God's throne together as his people and offer him bread and wine. And for him to send down the Holy Spirit upon us and upon the bread and wine, and that his body and blood, his flesh would mingle within us, and that we would become one with him. And then with us, we're all one together. Anyhow, we live from communion to communion. Let's do the best that we can. To Christ be glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.